Watching the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II has been a surreal lesson in post-colonial history. India's new president, Draupadi Murmu, was there among all the world leaders, easily spotted in her midnight blue sari. Murmu belongs to the Santals, an indigenous tribal people. In 1855, her ancestors rose in rebellion against the British East India Company. This week, she represented India at the funeral of a British queen. It's a strange, strange world out there. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata. It's fashionable to decry any interest in the death of Queen Elizabeth as colonial nostalgia in India that the country needs to shrug off. But it's actually a moment instead to examine how India has looked at the West, both as a problem and as a solution. Rahul Sagar, professor at NYU Abu Dhabi, recently put together an anthology of how Indians in the 19th century looked at the West, especially England, under Queen Elizabeth's great-great-grandmother. The book is called To Raise a Fallen People.
The title of the book comes from one of those first essays, as you were asking about, which is an essay written by a brilliant young man called Madhava Rao, who at that point is the star student in the first batch of the first college that the English set up in the southern part of India, in Madras. And he's asked this question, what's the use of English education? And his answer is because it will help raise a fallen people.
At a time when people in Europe lived in caves, India had flourishing empires. But as the British stranglehold over India increased, India had fallen on hard times. And Indians were coming to a damning realization.
Well, what we've got from the past is extremely useful for personal salvation, but it doesn't really fundamentally help us think about modern politics. How do you deal with artillery? How do you deal with global trade and commerce? How do you deal with overcoming, as the British were doing, overcoming sectarian and regional differences?
These Indians concluded that they needed to learn from the West. They needed to educate themselves in science and modern technology. They wanted a Western education not to ape the West, but to be able to stand up to it. But they knew that it was also creating a schism with their own countrymen and women, as one essayist lamented about the price of a Western education.
He says we're, like a ship going further away from port. It's not like we're taking the port with us. We're going away from the port. The rest of the country still has these deep affections for the past.
Conservative Indian society barred Indians from crossing the oceans, what they call the black water. Even in the early 20th century, when my grandfather returned from studying in England, he was told to eat cow dung to purify himself. She refused. 19th century Indians attacked the injunctions against travel on two fronts.
One was those that were educated in English institutions and became rationalists and just said these sorts of things don't make any sense.
Some of those just hopped on a boat and left. The others took a different tack.
Look, we are going to reinterpret our scriptures. We're going to reevaluate our past and say those injunctions existed for a reason that now no longer exists. So you don't mock the past. You don't say, forget everything, forget all tradition. But you say, look, certain rules no longer apply. And here's why. And you provide a new interpretation of your scriptures, of your texts. And that's really, in a sense, the heart of reformation, right? It's not revolution.
This dialogue between India and the West, a dance, if you will, has been continuing ever since. As an immigrant, I was the beneficiary of this dialogue. And even today, some Indians call others too westernized or think India has more to teach the West than learn from it.
Their argument is that in the problem of the West is the idea that one ideal must win. Since one ideal or one identity he must win and the other must be wrong, you must destroy it. Because Hinduism, as they interpret it, as they see it, simply says there can be more than one right idea. Just in this broadest of senses, India is better positioned to teach how to coexist.
And thus, tribal president Draupadi Murmu and King Charles III will coexist and maybe even learn from each other. This is Sandeep Roy in Kolkata for KALW.